Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, April the 5th, 94th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department, we have Sergeant Kim Thompson, because Mike Downey ducked us yet again.
Shame on him.
Unless, of course, you asked for this. And then you said, Sheriff, I really do need to be on Talk Shop.
Well, actually, I didn't volunteer for it, but I didn't cry too loudly when he asked me to do
yeah,
it.
The gasp wasn't too bad.
No.
So to spend a little bit of time talking about the animal shelter, it's been quite a number of years since the shelter came into existence. We talked about it as it was being constructed and stuff. So kind of a couple years into the process, we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on, some of the challenges and the trends with animals and adoptions and whatever else Kim might see out by the airport that would be worthy of note. How's that for open-ending it for you?
Okay.
All right. We'll talk about it. Dogs and more when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kim Thompson. Go ahead, if you got a cough, cough. But before we do, our quote this afternoon is actually an English proverb. And this is kind of an interesting little twist. It's as close to dog as I can get, or cat. I know you guys don't have any camels.
Well, that's one of the few things we haven't had.
Yeah, okay. It's the final straw that broke the camel's back.
The final straw.
The final straw. I mean, we always hear, right? It's the final straw. So just let me know when I'm getting close. I'll back off.
You're doing fine.
So how did you end up out at the shelter?
That's a pretty good question, really. I think the first time, this is my second time out at the shelter. The first time I was out there by default. Lieutenant Knight was transferred back into Main Station, and I was working for Lieutenant Morey then, and he was off at the FBI Academy, and somebody needed to be at the shelter, so they elected me to go out there and take over the supervision at the shelter.
Don't worry, Kim, it's only temporary. Words to that effect?
I think. And it really was. I was out there for about 6 or 7 months then, and then I had so much else on my plate at the time that they ended up giving the shelter to Sergeant Phil Boehner, because he was heading up our Livestock and Special Services Division anyway.
Yeah, it kind of made somewhat sense.
It did. And then he retired in May. So the sheriff asked me nicely if I would mind going back out to the shelter and managing the shelter.
Is it a cop position or is it a management position?
Well, since the inception of the shelter, there's really always been a uniformed presence out there. Before the budget issues came up during the last fiscal year, we actually had a civilian shelter coordinator there, but because of budgetary issues, that position was eliminated, and so now it's just Lieutenant Morey actually is in charge of the shelter, but I oversee the day-to-day operations rather than the civilian position that was there before.
For people that haven't been out there,
yeah,
what's the coolest thing about the shelter?
You know what? The coolest thing about our shelter is that it really is a beautiful facility and it's clean. I mean, you know, I can't tell you how many people come into our shelter and they're like, oh my God, we've never been here before. And we thought it was going to be dirty and it was going to smell bad. And, you know, they get there and they're just like, wow. So I think that's probably the coolest thing, is that our staff does a really, really, really good job keeping that place sanitary and taking care of the animals that we have in our facility.
That's a cultural thing that the department has in place, or is that something that they do on their own?
You know what? There's nobody working out there that doesn't love animals. You couldn't do that. It's not a cultural thing, but some of it is that if you don't maintain a certain degree of sanitation, you will have disease, and you don't want to get parvo and some of those things going through your shelter, because then you end up having to euthanize animals because they're sick, and so it is. Some of it is just because the nature of the beast. And some of it's because, you know...
That was almost a pun. You almost got it on that one. Yeah.
Okay, well, you know what? And I'm not even trying. So a lot of it's just because they care for the animals, and a lot of it is because there are certain guidelines that we have to meet to keep the facility clean and free of disease.
If that's the coolest thing, what's the area you'd like to be able to work with a little bit, take care of a situation on?
In our shelter,
yeah.
I would say I'd like it to be a little less full. if I had my wish, I'd like people to be more responsible pet owners, so that we didn't have so many animals out there looking for a home.
KINS News and Information Times 421. We'll be back with more with Kim Thompson.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 425. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Sergeant Kim Thompson from the, you know, if I say from the animal shelter, it kind of sounds like you're a parolee.
I kind of feel like one.
Yeah, okay. Well, enjoy your freedom then. Kim, before the break, you were talking about the numbers of animals and just kind of the too many. Are we a county that have too many pet owners, too many irresponsible pet owners, too many people that can't add one and one together to come up with at least plus or minus a couple digits of the right answer? Why do we have so many strays?
I think there's a lot to that dynamic. I do. I mean, I think some of it is, and I don't think it's just individual to Humboldt County. I don't. I think some of it is because of, like I said, the transitory nature of the county. You know, we have a lot of college students here that come and go, and we do get a lot of animals, you know, that way. We have some transient population here, and we end up with a lot of animals by virtue of that. And you know, there's a lot going on in the world today, and you know, when people are losing their homes and their jobs and so forth, I think, you know, they look at, can I feed myself or can I feed my dog? And I just think a lot of people struggle with it, and you know, they have to make a choice. So I think there's a lot going on there.
Is there anything like a animal per 1,000 population? Any kind of stratification to know how a population or if a population needs to have a shelter? I mean, how do you know currently if you need to have a shelter? I know when the place was built, it was okay. You got to have a no kill, or you got to have a place that can euthanize animals somewhere in the county in order to have, you know, the funding and the stuff from the state. But it seems like we have an awful lot of different rescue this and shelter that, in addition to what you guys have. Do we just have more than the average community?
No, I don't believe so. I think statewide, it's pretty much the norm. And you know, God bless the rescue organizations, because if it weren't for the rescues, we send a lot of animals out to rescues every year.
And explain what a rescue is.
Well, rescue organizations are nonprofit organizations that will come in and they will take animals from us that are, generally they take the animals that are that we deem to be non-adoptable animals, but they also take adoptable animals too when we're very full. And they will take those animals and send them out to either other rescue organizations, other places throughout the state. They will rehome them elsewhere, and so they really do a good job for us, helping us make space without having to euthanize.
What is a non-adaptable?
Adoptable?
No, adoptable.
Adoptable.
I knew I was going to mess that one up. Yeah, we're not looking to see if Darwin was right in one cycle.
No.
Okay, a non-adoptable pet.
Well, we have some criteria within our shelter that we have to meet in order to adopt an animal out to the public, and a lot of that is based on liability for the county. So just because we deem an animal not to be adoptable based on our criteria doesn't necessarily mean it's not adoptable. It just means that we couldn't assume the risk if we adopted this animal out to the public. So we do what we call temperament testing of animals, and we test them for dog aggression, people aggression, food aggression, and just, you know, overall kind of evaluate what kind of temperament they have. And if they pass our temperament test, then they become adoptable. And if they fail in some way and we can't work with them and rehabilitate the animal a little bit, then it becomes non-adoptable.
Talk to me here about this temperament for food. You made mention, I'm thinking, yeah, everybody's going to be hungry, particularly an animal who might not have had a history of regularly being fed.
Right.
They see a pile of food, okay, out of the way, here we go. Is that how you test? Or how would a dog flunk out on the food test?
Food aggression is one of those things that if we see a dog that has food aggression, we take exactly those kind of things that you've just mentioned into consideration. What is its history? Was it with other dogs and it wasn't getting enough food? And so if we fail a dog for food aggression, and what we literally do is we take a dog, we take a pan of food and put it on the ground, and we have a little rubber hand on a stick. Looks like it's a rubber hand with a sleeve. And we put the food on the ground and let the dog start eating it. And then we take that rubber hand and stick it in the bowl and stick it on the dog and rub it all over its
face. Oh, so you're messing with the dog.
To see if, you wouldn't want your baby crawling or, your young child crawling around while the dog was eating and have the dog nip at the child. So, and a lot of times with the food aggression issues, those are things that many times we can fix. And so that's probably not the biggest deal.
So that's one of the easier ones.
It is sometimes. There's more often than not with food aggression issues, we can deal with that.
I'm just thinking, how long did it take before the rubber hand came into play after having the real one?
Yeah.
But maybe that's why we call Steve Lefty also.
Maybe.
Could be. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 4:31.
Now, a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kim Thompson, who's running the animal shelter for the Sheriff's Department. Kim, are there certain breeds that you see more consistently?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right now, it's pit bulls. Or pit bull mixes, and that is just about probably on a daily basis, I would say, at least 80% of our population.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't realize that they were that prevalent.
Well, they're popular. But I mean, if you look back when Taco Bell had the Chihuahuas in their commercial, you know, the shelters were inundated with Chihuahuas because everybody had to have one. Back when 101 Dalmatians, everybody had to go out and get a Dalmatian, and then all the shelters had Dalmatians. You know, right now we're in that pit bull place.
Huh, interesting. We got two this was back before the shelter was completed. So it was in those funky cages.
Yeah.
And we got, you know, one of them didn't work out and ended up having to be euthanized, and the other we still have, goofy as he is.
Pit bulls?
No, he's a Newfie lab mix.
Oh.
And the other was a Alaska Husky, but he'd been outdoors so much, and the experiences were there. It was just too much.
Right.
How do you determine whether or not the overall health of the animal is good enough so that you can stand behind it and you're not giving somebody maybe a sweet animal, but a huge medical nightmare?
You know what? All of our staff there is super, super, super knowledgeable about animals. I'm surprised every day how good they are when they intake an animal at gauging its age and, you know, checking it for other medical issues. Our animal control officers the same way. In fact, one of the animal control officers on my staff is actually she is a vet tech. So I have at least the luxury of having people there that are pretty wise. And when they check an animal out, when they come in, if the animal has any signs of any medical issues whatsoever, we take them to McKinleyville Animal Care. That's who we can't contract with, and we have those issues checked out.
It's not like Dave doesn't know what he's doing.
No, he's been doing it a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
He's been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
So,
when people say, "What was the weirdest story?" Do you have one?
Well, I don't think I've been there long enough to fairly analyze the weirdest story, because there have been some weird ones, but I really haven't had anything super weird since I've been there.
Yet. What about the breeds? Do you get a wide variety of breeds, or when you said pit bull, is that, you know, pretty much pit bulls, labs, and maybe a couple of the smaller breeds, and that's about it?
We get them across the board. St. Bernards, Dachshunds, Heelers, Labs, Newfoundlands, Anatolians. You name it, we've probably had it there.
Can you put it in an order? And say, you know, next time you get you said Dalmatian or a Greyhound. Next time you get one, let me know.
You know what? If we did that for the general public, it would be really hard to keep track of. But I do have some folks in my acquaintance that have called me on occasion and told me what they were looking for, and I found them one.
Cool.
So it works out.
Yeah. So it just depends on who you are.
Well, I wouldn't say that we wouldn't do it for the average citizen, but, you know, if we had 12 people calling in every day being on a waiting list for an animal, it would be too much for the staff to be able to handle. So,
not that I want to set you up for any issues.
That's okay.
We've talked a lot about dogs. Dogs the only animals that you have?
Oh, no. We have cats. Right now, dogs and cats, I think, are all we have. But we have had, you name it, pretty much almost. We do have a horse, I think. We do have a horse out of it's not in our facility. We've had pigs. We've had goats. We've had lizards. We've had rabbits. We've had guinea pigs. We've had tarantula spiders. We've had birds. Somebody brought in a bird last week.
How do you know if they're pets or if it's a ranch animal? Or, I'm presuming the lizard isn't a blue tail.
Oh, no.
One of the fancier, more the exotics.
Exactly. Okay. The exotic lizards. We get all kind of stuff in there.
If people are interested, if they lose their animal, or, like with the thunderstorms we had earlier in the week, and they spook and they run, how do they find out whether they're in the shelter or not? Or what should they do to try to find their pet if it really is lost?
You'd be surprised the number of people who don't think to call the shelter, and we've had their animal for, the best thing I can tell people to do is to have your pet microchipped. It's cheap. It's relatively inexpensive. They can do it at your veterinarian, or when places like the farm store have their pet fair or some of these places have events, they'll do it really cheap or for free and register that microchip. But
Now, you guys do that when you adopt out, right?
We do. Every animal that goes out of the shelter has a microchip. Every cat or dog has a microchip. A lizard would not have a microchip.
You're going to beat me to the punch then. Okay.
But they can go on the internet and check petharbor.com.
Spelled normal?
Petharbor, P-E-T, okay. harbor.com. And click on Humboldt County and look at I Lost My Pet. And all of our animals that we have in the shelter will be on Pet Harbor. It's updated hourly.
Really? Hourly?
Hourly. Everything is uploaded hourly, so that would be there. And they can also call the shelter during our regular business hours, 840-9132.
That one's probably in the phone book, huh?
That one is definitely in the phone book.
KINS, News and Information Times, 442. We'll be back with more from Kim Thompson.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 445. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kim Thompson. Kim, with the types of matches or adoptions, I don't know, I know there's different phrases that are used. What do you look for? If you've got a big dog, what are you looking for? If you've got a small dog, what are you looking for? Young, old, what kind of profiling do you have with families, or do you?
Well, we really don't have the luxury of profiling people to see if, we ask a lot of questions to see what kind of home they're in, if they have small children, if they have, a fenced yard, those kind of things. It doesn't necessarily preclude them from adopting an animal, but our staff is really knowledgeable about all of the animals and their personalities that are in there, so they do their best to match people up with dogs they think would be suited to their environment.
I can't imagine, or cats.
Or cats.
That you could have a bad day if you have the chance to have two or three families adopting out animals that day, and you got the kids, and the whole emotional gamut is hit. The fun, the excitement, picking out the animal that's now going to be part of their family. Does it get better than that?
No, it's a great day. All of us are very invested in the shelter and making sure that those animals find good homes. So it's, there are days when we had a pit bull in our shelter, and I think actually Betsy Lambert was the first person to come in contact with this particular pit bull. His name was Jack. nicest little dog, and he had been there for, he was the longest resident in our shelter. I think he'd been there for like a year. And every day we were like, did Jack get adopted? And we were so invested in him that, you know, we would come in the mornings and get him out of his kennel and let him run around in the office with him. And, you know, Stacy Jensen, one of my kennel staff, put him on Craigslist and worked really, really hard to get him a good home. And we all literally had a, we danced a little jig in there when Jack went out the door because we were so invested in getting him a home. So it is a great day.
Are there any rules of the road, so to speak, that you would have for folks who are considering adopting an animal, or if they currently have one, and they may be in a less than comfortable place? What are some of the things that you would like to share with them?
Adopting an animal and they're in a less than comfortable
Yeah, either adopting an animal or if they're in a situation where they may be having to give up their animal.
Oh, wow. If you're in a situation where you have to give up your animal, you know, I do the best you can to try to rehome it. You know, I mean, it's a hard thing. I get it that people have to do that. Adopting an animal is a big responsibility. And I think, you know, a lot of times people really, really want to do it, or maybe their kids want a pet or something, and they do those things. They come down and adopt an animal and without really thinking it through, and then they feel bad because they have to bring the animal back because it didn't work out. But if you have other animals already, we require you to bring your, if you have another dog and you're adopting a dog, we require you to bring your dog in and do a meet and greet so that we know that the two animals get along. And it's important to have a place for them and time for them. I mean, animals are, you know, kind of like kids. They need certain things.
Animals are people, too.
They are.
I heard you check off on that, though. Yeah. We got, obviously, Easter is Sunday.
Yeah.
Is there still a tendency for people to give live rabbits
Easter? Oh, yeah. There is. And most assuredly we'll end up with some bunnies after. But interestingly enough, we don't really have a problem with people coming in and adopting rabbits, guinea pigs, chickens. We can't keep chickens in the facility. We get chickens in and people are calling us because we have to hold livestock for a longer period of time than we do domestic animals. And we get people calling us every day. Can I adopt the chickens yet? No, you have to wait a couple more days. Can't keep a chicken in the place. And rabbits are pretty much the same. We don't have a problem really adopting out rabbits and stuff like
that.
Isn't that
intriguing?
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of is. But it's good. It's good.
Oh, having pent-up demand is wonderful. Boy.
Yeah, see, I taught you something new today,
didn't
I?
Yeah. Of course, I'm going in probably the opposite direction of what anybody wants to hear. You know, why the chickens are so popular right now. But that's okay. You know, we can all think the best.
Well, they're not all that pleasant for my staff to take care of, so it's really a good thing when they go out the door.
Oh, thanks for coming by, Kim.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking shop with Kim Thompson. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.